Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter, even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
About 90 to 100% contaminated when we had mandatory recycling. Any given pickup was basically full of trash because everybody had a recycling bin. Anybody who cared to recycle was just doing it at their curb, and anybody who needed to drop off a living room set was doing that at some.
Now, I know we're going back just a little bit in time to talk about this, but I thought it was an interesting story from the mayor when he was talking about why the Summit Recycling Center has really kind of become a big problem. And it makes sense if you think about who is going to use it and what's going on with the availability of curbside recycling in the city and why the contamination rate would be so extraordinarily high at that site by the airport.
So what happened? Well, when we paused curbside recycling, actually the contamination rate went way down because many people who care very much about recycling, not having the convenient access, went to the Summit garage and did their best to recycle. So there was still some contamination, but it went down significantly.
Which makes sense because when you have curbside recycling, the people who are going to do recycling properly are recycling it at their curb. When you take away curbside recycling, which of course was the case for a while, and we've done the curb, you know, the recycling hokey pokey in Pensacola for, gosh, since Mayor Hayward was in office. And currently you are recycling at the curb. And I think this program will work long term because you're paying for it, which means that only the people who want to do it are opting in and they're going to do it well. Therefore, the contamination rate will come down. And if you're not familiar with these terms, I'm not trying to take, you know, that for granted. Contamination doesn't mean that you leave crusties inside of the Ragu bar bottle. It means that you put things that can be recycled only into the recycling. And therefore, when it gets to the MRF at the landfill, you know, the materials recycling facility and the back of the landfill, they don't reject it because it doesn't have bowling balls and garden hoses and ordinary trash and leaves and things mixed in, which is common, unfortunately. But anyway, so because it's being done at the curb, people are doing it properly. And therefore, the only people who are going to the Summit are the ones who aren't doing it at the curb. And that means that it's people who are just dropping off the trash. When people can't do it at the curb, well, then you have a mixture of the good and the bad, which brings the contamination rate down at the Summit site. But, you know, it's right now, or at, you know, it, right now it's actually back up to being really high again.
Well, lo and behold, we have 4,000 people who have signed up, opted in to recycle from their curb. You can safely assume that those are the people who do definitely care about recycling. And the bell curve has gone back up, and we at this moment are at 85 to 90% contamination at Summit. So what does that mean in practice? It means everything that's going to Summit Boulevard is confirmed in the dump. And so the city is saying, here's where you recycle. Yet it's ultimately just a dumping station.
80 to 90%. Good Lord. I mean, I think the number usually that the materials recycling facility requires is somewhere in the, you know, 30% maybe contamination. If you are turning in more than that, I think it's 25 or 30, it's something like that. It's in that range anyway. And if you're recycling and it's contaminated more than that, they turn you away. 80 to 90%. Are you, good Lord? I mean, it's all trash. It's just not recyclables at all. So obviously this is not a functional situation, and it costs an awful lot of money to maintain that facility at Summit.
Just so you know, 218 scheduled cleanups by a 5-person crew, 3 to 4 hours. And if you include periodic investment or unscheduled visits, like seeing that it was overflowing and having to go back out there, for example, this site costs about $260,000 a year to operate. So you guys can do the math. We have 90% contamination, ultimately a second dumpster, third dumpster, and it's costing our citizens almost $300,000 a year. So if I were to come to this podium and say, we're going to raise the bill $1 or $1.50, there'd be a lot of conversation. you do that math with 21,000 households, that is $1 or $1.50 to 21,000 households that we're spending on ultimately a contaminated dumping ground. So,
yeah, if you charge everybody $1, $1.50 a month times the number of households, you get $300,000 a year to pay for the cost that this essentially a second dumping ground or a primary dumping ground for some people is costing the city. And so would everybody want to pay an extra $1, $1.50 a month? No, I didn't think that. I don't think that'll happen. And that's what he's saying is, well, look, if you wouldn't make that choice, then why should we as a city be making that choice with our use of resources either?
Well, we're looking at options. We asked our sanitation team to analyze what might be best. We're going to further analyze the ability to potentially move a recycling drop-off to the transfer station. If you recall, when we didn't have mandatory recycling during that pause, we did the assisted drop-off. It just allows us to secure it better. And that we have fencing there. We can have hours there that we can have it open. Because as you can imagine, when does the contamination happen? It happens because it's unassisted. Nobody's there. There's no fence. It's in the middle of the night. And it's very difficult to control.
So an open, unstaffed facility gets you a lot of problems. If we move it somewhere else, like the transfer station downtown, a transfer station is where they trucks come and then bigger trucks leave, like to not have them driving all the way up to the landfill. It's the same kind of thing that Escambia County is building right now so that they can also reduce congestion, the wear and tear on the trucks. There's all kinds of reasons why it makes sense. It's like a distribution solution, basically. But so, yeah, if you had it there, then you have it behind a fence, or at least mostly behind a fence, controlled by hours, all kinds of things that will reduce that. So if people actually do want to recycle and don't want to pay for it, they'll still have the ability by moving it to that location instead of away from Summit, which this makes perfect sense to me. It's just funny. I saw some of the – we have this right now kind of thing. We're in an election year. And the online presence of some people, I could but won't name names, if you're online a lot and you pay attention, you know exactly who I'm talking about. If the mayor sneezes, it's an incompetence catastrophe. You know, like there's nothing he can do that's right for them. And so everything that happens in the world is either some nefarious conspiracy or some evidence that D.C. Reeves is running the city into the ground or whatever. And so some of the things that I saw even about this, I'm like, are you people stupid? Well, no, not stupid, malicious, you know, and sometimes they masquerade as each other. But this is actually a smart thing based on a problem that was intended to be a solution originally when recycling wasn't available, but has turned out to not be a solution for much of anything at all. And he's trying to save money and actually accomplish the goal of letting people be able to take recycling when they don't want to pay for it every month on their bill.
So the initial review from our sanitation department, if we were to move it to Leonard and Palafox Street on the transfer station, it could be managed by one employee, minimal equipment. Under that model, we think we can actually reduce the cost by about 90% so far, $30,000 a year versus $258,000 a year.
Yeah, that's that's good news. You can actually get recycling done. You can reduce the cost by well over $200,000 a year. People won't have to pay an extra buck or a buck and a half on the recycling bill. So to me, that seems like a win. 437-1620, 437-1620. Yesterday, Marco Rubio talked about the future plans of not just the Trump administration in Venezuela, but also in other places like Greenland. What is the idea there? And the short takeaway is that on Venezuela, even though his initial remarks, this is kind of interesting, the initial remarks that he had prepared indicated more of a, hey, anything is on the table and we might, you know, be willing to do almost anything and, you know, we're not going to rule out future military action. The actual when he was there comments were much more measured. He says, we're not going to have this thing turned around overnight, but I think we're making good and decent progress. We're certainly better off today in Venezuela than we were 4 weeks ago. I totally agree with that, by the way. And I think and hope and expect that we'll be better off in 3 months and 6 months and 9 months than we would have been had Maduro still been there. He says, I can tell you right now with full certainty, we are not postured to, nor do we intend or expect to, have to take any military action in Venezuela anytime. I think it would require the emergence of an imminent threat of the kind we do not anticipate at this time. And that's kind of always been the nature of, you know, military action, at least historically, is there has to be an imminent threat from them or actual action by them against us for us to use military force against them. And that's why people had raised so many questions about taking Maduro with military force, because that was neither. You know, he's been there a long time. There was no immediate threat. The justification was on the basis of, you know, him being a really bad guy, him owing us a lot of money, this being some kind of a solution to bring basically democracy long term, because it's not been there for a long time, to Venezuela. None of those are the traditional justification of kidnapping, you know, the head of state of some other country. But he's basically reaffirming the longstanding standard that it has to be that in order for us to get engaged. Also with NATO, he says, and Greenland, which has also been the issue, obviously, NATO needs to be reimagined. He says, I just think this president complains about it louder than other presidents, as in everybody recognizes this. I'm not sure that everybody recognizes this. I will say this, the one thing that the president definitely deserves credit for, and, you know, kind of like within Pensacola, D.C. can do no right for some people. There are some people for whom President Trump can do no right, and there are some people for whom President Trump can do no wrong. Both of them you should ignore, because both of those perspectives are very, very wrong. The president does a lot of right things. The president does a lot of terrible things, and you have to analyze each thing on the basis of its own merits. And in the case of NATO, I don't think there's even an argument to be had that the president has been an incredible bolstering force for NATO, because they are all spending much more of their GDP percentage on military spending, which is the basis of it. It's not like you'd pay dues to NATO. What happens is you measure your percentage of your GDP that you spend on military preparation, and that does or does not reach a certain threshold. And through all of his actions, first term and this term, the president has dramatically increased the participation of NATO member states in military spending. Now, he's also jeopardized the alliance in the last year since taking office this time, with the rumors of Greenland and the unwillingness to rule military action off the table, and what that does, because that would be illegal, not only against the NATO agreement, but it would also be illegal under international law for us to go and take another country just because we want that land, whatever the reason we give for it would be. But again, so that's been destabilizing, but generally speaking, for NATO, he's been extraordinarily positive, and you should continue to give him credit for that. 521 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Welcome back to Winter Hack Radio, the place for clever hacks to survive the season. Icy driveway? Well, try spreading sand or bird seed to help with traction. Snowy puppy paws? Well, grab a whisk, brush it off, done. Catch COVID-19? Well, just get...
Actually, there's no hack for COVID-19. But if you test positive, prescription medications for COVID exist. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
There's no championship league for small business owners, but if there was, you'd be at the top of the standings. Because going pro with Lenovo Pro means you've got the winning formation, one-on-one advice, IT solutions, and customized hardware powered by Intel Core Ultra processors help you stay ahead of the competition. Business goes pro with Lenovo Pro. Sign up for free at Lenovo.com/pro. Lenovo, Lenovo.
You ever look at your bank account and think,
okay, that could be better?
Dave Ramsey, weeknights, 7 to 10, on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
So speaking of exes, my old boyfriend came over late last night, and yada, yada, yada. Anyway, I'm really tired today.
I'm all right, nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be?
Good morning, 523 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Happy cold days. Continuing through the weekend. Super cold. Oh, my gosh. It's going to be even colder over the weekend. What? I mean, I'm already, even this morning, it's right around freezing, and I'm seeing, frost on windshields as I drive through the parking lot at University Mall coming into work, and I just think, it doesn't bother me. I grew up in the Midwest. This is all just kind of, you know, within the range of what I've always been accustomed to. But yet, you know, when you live in the South enough, and I lived in Phoenix for 7 years, we lived here for 12 years, and I used to laugh at people who said, well, your blood thins out and you won't be able to handle the cold as much. And No, your blood thins out and you can't handle the cold as much. It's definitely true. Also, and I hate to do a physics lesson at 5:24 in the morning, but humidity makes a big difference. And look, I know a lot of you know this, okay? So I'm explaining what you already understand. But for those who don't, and it's okay if you don't. There's a lot of things not everybody understands. The reason humidity makes temperatures so much worse in either direction, either heat or cold, is because water in the air holds its temperature much more strenuously against your skin, against your body, than air does. Right? The idea is that water holds the temperature better, and so it makes you feel hotter when it's hot. Water, basically. It's, I mean, you know, if you stick your hand in 100 degrees of air, who cares? You stick your hand in 100 degrees of water, bad. Really bad. Same thing. Well, same thing on the other direction. If you stick your hand in 32 degrees of water, or 30 degrees of air, well, I mean, it's cold, but, you know, whatever. But if you stick your hand in 32 degrees of water, you know, just under the ice, really bad. That's it. That's the explanation. That's why humidity works the way that it does. 525, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. That was a nice physics lesson.
That's it.
Physics lesson.
That's it.
Boy.
40% humidity does it worse than 10% humidity. 90% does it worse than 40%. Yeah, I mean, it's just how much water versus how much air is affecting your skin. That's that simple.
We need the, what was it, NBC?
And
that had,
now you
the
know.
The more you know with the rainbow, yeah.
Oh, give me 3 seconds. You know I'll find it.
Minnesota lawmakers want Congress to delay funding for the Department of Homeland Security until changes are made on immigration enforcement. Democrats Amy Klobuchar and Tina Smith yesterday outlined reforms they say need to come before they'll vote to fund ICE. The FBI is now leading the investigation into the liquid attack on Ilhan Omar. 55-year-old Anthony Comzersak is accused of squirting the liquid on Omar during a town hall. He was booked into jail on a third-degree assault charge, and officials have said that the preliminary reports indicate that whatever the substance was he sprayed on her, it was not toxic. Elon Musk says he's turning his California Tesla plant into a robot factory. He did a fourth quarter earnings call yesterday, and Musk said he is ending production on the Model S and X Teslas that are assembled there, and he's going to convert it to make the Optimus robots.
All right, very good. By the way, I am extraordinarily frustrated. I don't have that sound clip.
This is the first time that you have ever let us down on a sound clip.
And it's funny because I thought for sure that I did have it, but I do not have it, and that makes me, you know, very... very upset.
I bet this is going to eat at you.
It is going to bother me. I'm definitely going to get it as soon as I possibly can. I mean, the closest I've got.
And knowing is half the battle.
That's the closest I've got is not the NBC version, but the G.I. Joe version.
That's way off, yeah.
No, it's not even. That's feel worse for having played that, actually. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 527 here on News Radio 92.3. The Church of England has accomplished, I guess, announced, performed a historic first. PJ, I don't know. You have I'm a non-denominational Christian. Are you a religious, like a mainstream? You're from Wisconsin, so I assume you're Lutheran, Missouri Synod, or Lutheran,
not Lutheran,
and not Missouri Synod, though, right?
No.
Okay, so they wrong state, right? But
now I go to a Bible church.
Okay, so not an Episcopalian, to put it bluntly. Okay, well, guess what? The Anglicans, which is the Church of England, and if you don't understand the relationship between the Anglicans and the Episcopalians, if you're not one of them, then it's easy to not understand. The Anglican Church is, you know, England, think about that. That's the church that was founded, you know, by Henry VIII in the 16th century, breaking away from the Catholic Church over a variety of things, including, you know, divorce and remarriage and murder and remarriage, and, you know, it's a lot of story there. But the Anglican Church is the Church of England. And everybody in the world that is a part of the Anglican Communion, as it's described, is considered an Anglican, except for in America, we call them Episcopalians, and Scotland. So if you've ever wondered what those words mean, that's all. You know, that's simple. And I know it's confusing, but, you know, Christians, we like to make things confusing. Anyway, the Archbishop of Canterbury, you've heard of this position, is now a woman. First time in history, Sarah Mullally. First woman to lead the Church of England. It's not the same. If you understand the model of Catholicism, she's not like the Anglican Pope. They don't have a Pope. It's a collection of leaders, bishops, essentially. And so this is the first time that the kind of representative or leader of the church, even though it's not the same, is a woman. And it's actually kind of an interesting thing because you have a lot of Anglican communion churches who do not believe in female leadership in the church, not believe there should be female bishops, for example. And so for them, this is challenging. It's been one of the reasons that they, one would think, one of the reasons that the Anglican communion has not done this over the years. Of course, within the Catholic Church and others, but primarily the Catholics are the most known representative of this. You know, you do not have female priests. You do not have, obviously, bishops, therefore, or a pope ever. And that's a standard of the faith. There's a long conversation you can have about this biblically, and it's a very contentious conversation. If you care, I'm actually on the traditionalist side here, based on my read of the Bible. I don't make a big stink about it. I don't think it's the most important thing in the world, but the Bible seems to be pretty clear. So, and if you read it and take that as your standard of faith, it says what it says.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Border Czar Tom Homan delivers remarks at about 8 a.m. Eastern time about ICE enforcement in Minneapolis following a pair of ICE-involved shooting deaths of two protesters. He did meet with Mayor Jacob Frey, who told CNN,
I made it very clear that Operation Metro Surge needs to end.
Well, the mayor, adding Homan, did not commit to stopping the operation or on any sort of timeline.
A new Fox News poll shows President Trump's performance on border security, 52% approve, 47% disapprove. And another poll shows 59% of voters say ICE is too aggressive. Another poll shows 49% of registered voters think local governments like Minneapolis should cooperate with ICE.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson, a man in custody, ramming his car into a Brooklyn synagogue in New York several times. NYPD calling it a hate crime, investigating it. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531. It is News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and right now we've got a very cold start to our day, 28 degrees, and we'll get our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. The Triumph Golf Coast Board is voting on one of the largest requests in history. Project MAVE would bring a boat-building factory into the Port of Pensacola. Mayor D.C. Reeves says the impact would be significant.
10,000 jobs, average 80,000. It'd be the second largest employer in our city at the 2,000 mark. I believe Sacred Heart is number one. So again, very, very exciting project. And this is what we talk about when we say creating quality jobs in our community. We know the impact that can have.
The city's requesting $76 million in Triumph funds towards the $275 million project. City Administrator David Stafford said the project received an A rating from Triumph's economist. It would be among the three largest awards in Triumph history. The Walnut Hill Post Office is still closed 6 months after the building reopened. The contract postal unit inside the Escambia River Electric Cooperative Office has been shut down since August 2024 due to mold. EREC CEO Ryan Campbell says they do have a new contract but lack a USPS scanner required for operation. The Postal Service has denied EREC's offer to provide mail services without package until the scanner problem is fixed. Well, the Gumbo and Alabama Slammer Fest in Foley has been rescheduled. It was pushed back a week. It was originally set for this coming weekend, but now it'll be held February 7th and 8th at Heritage Park. Organizers have not said why it was postponed. The event features traditional Creole and Cajun gumbo recipes, live music, and family activities. If you can't attend on the new dates, refunds are available and tickets you already purchased will be honored. Palm Beach International Airport's a little bit closer to being renamed for President Trump. The Florida House Economic Infrastructure Subcommittee voted in favor of the name change. Democrat Representative Anna Escamani argued that renaming it is a bit premature.
When it comes to renaming infrastructure as essential as an airport, I think it's always better to wait till after someone serves their term as well versus during a term. I think in most cases we honor presidents in the following their career and their tenure.
House Bill 919, co-sponsor Republican Representative Meg Weinberger, cited other airports named for presidents and said President Trump has called Palm Beach County home since 2019. That proposal does still need full House and Senate approval. Well, hundreds of gun safety advocates gathered yesterday in Tallahassee at state capitol, urging lawmakers not to roll back gun laws passed after the Parkland school shooting. The rally comes as legislators consider several proposals, including lowering the age to buy a firearm from 21 to 18, repealing the state's red flag law, and allowing concealed carry on college campuses. Reverend Dr. Russell Meyer with the Florida Council of Churches told the crowd lawmakers need to focus on protecting kids and not undoing past reforms.
Shame on us for saying we can hand out guns to people who don't know how to use them. And when they get mad, they think that's the tool of choice.
Supporters at the rally said the measures under consideration would weaken safeguards put in place after the Parkland shooting. It's 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson.
Chilly start to your day today with temperatures warming up this afternoon. Partly cloudy skies near 54 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 42 degrees. Heading into Friday, 40% chance of rain. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies, high near 57. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 24. Looking at very breezy conditions on that Saturday with temperatures staying very cold, 35 degrees for that high. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping into the low 20s. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke, and it's a cold start to the day, 28 degrees. Our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Breeze Airways said it is launching nonstop seasonal service between Pittsburgh International Airport and Louisville Muhammad Ali International Airport. Flights will operate on Thursdays and Sundays from May 7th to September 13th. Round-trip tickets are available at an introductory rate of $39. German software giant SAP has plunged as much as 11% after reporting weaker-than-expected growth in its cloud contract backlog in the fourth quarter. It's the biggest daily fall since October of 2020. When its stock dropped 22% following disappointing third quarter results. Bloomberg News reports that Chief Executive Officer Christian Klein has previously said SAP was targeting 26% growth. Dutch semiconductor equipment company ASML is the only company in the world that makes extreme ultraviolet lithography machines used to produce the most advanced semiconductors. The company saw its share price rise 36% in 2025, and it has continued to surge in 2026. Futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, this is Curtis Stone. Now, I've cooked a lot of food in my day. Steaks, salads, pasta, seafood, chicken, soup, sandwiches. I mean, you name it, and I've prepared it thousands of times. But even I can't cook enough to feed all of the 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger. That's one out of every five children. Now, luckily, there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last one of those hungry kids. The only problem is getting it to them. That's where the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks comes in. They gather up surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across the country. We call them food angels, and you can be a food angel too. Come on, earn your wings by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
We'll have a look at all the fun things to do in Pensacola in the new year, including Pensacola Mardi Gras, SBC basketball, and so much more.
Tomorrow at 9, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
Captain Eric Lawrence was training Afghan soldiers when his truck was hit by an IED.
I sat home alone for months,
I didn't want that anymore. I wanted to go back to work. PVA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
Paralyzed Veterans of America, changing lives, building futures. To learn more, visit PVA.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
When the news gets complicated, you don't need more volume. You need better questions. Better questions. Hugh Hewitt sits down with lawmakers, legal experts, journalists, and insiders, and actually lets them talk.
Lets them talk.
Long-form interviews, real context, and time to understand what's really happening behind the headlines. Hugh Hewitt. Weekdays 2 to 4 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local. Dependable.
Dependable.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And on the line now, we have the mayor of Pensacola, D.C. Reeves, who is in his namesake. It's not really his namesake because District of Columbia versus Darcy. But D.C. is in Washington, D.C. this morning on our behalf. D.C., welcome back to the show, sir.
I am. I'm here.
So you're there for what are you there? Mayor conference? What are you there for?
Yeah, that and a little double dipping, as we always do up here. U.S. Conference of Mayors, the annual meeting. The winter meeting is here. Each year. So we've got that starting this morning. But also, we got priorities in Pensacola. So we have meetings with several federal agencies. The House, of course, is out and there's been weather issues. I got to experience firsthand. I got in, got to the hotel room about 2:45 in the morning yesterday with all the delays through Atlanta and all that. I had three different airports I was landing at in the last 5 or 6 hours before I finally got here. So the less glamorous version of business travel, so to speak, but looking forward to those meetings. And those start actually, I think, with the Department of Commerce today. I say I meet with them at 11:45 Eastern.
Very good. Well, we'll look forward to hearing what you accomplish while you're there. And as always, it's a good experience to be with the Council on Mayors. That's always good stuff. Let's start with probably the more awkward of the things that I want to talk with you about today, because I want to, you know, kind of hear your side of it. As you know, the ongoing conversation about feeding the seniors at Cobb Center and Council on Aging, you know, we talked to Josh Newby yesterday. He says it was a really bad employee that made his employees, two of them, feel like they could not really continue safely in that environment. That's why they withdrew their participation. We have heard indirectly that the seniors, I guess we heard from David Stafford yesterday that seniors are at least getting fed somehow or other right now. So that's good news. But anything you want to add to this? Because it's a very confusing situation. If the employee is as bad as Josh says they are, why haven't they been removed or moved or something? And if they're not that bad, then what's the truth of the story?
I think, and I caught some of that yesterday, probably this is the extent that I will take this conversation is it's exactly as you said, there are two sides to every story. And also, you know, we have 900 employees, and to clarify, this particular person is a contract employee through an agency. This is not a direct full-time employee.
Okay.
That being said, you know, we have a duty and to do due diligence on, we can't just because a citizen or a great agency, like Council on Aging says a certain thing, doesn't mean that we can just react to that and then, terminate someone. We have due diligence to do. And I know that's something that we had requested. And you know, the bottom line is this: number one, everyone's getting fed, and this whole conversation started not prompted by the city. This was someone coming to a council meeting saying people aren't getting fed. So first and foremost, which I think should be the thing that we care the most about in the community, is the fact that if seniors want to get fed, they are getting fed.
Right.
Secondly, we don't want any consternation between a great agency, a nonprofit, and certainly we appreciate what they do. But we also, again, have a duty to track down and get to the bottom of and not get into just the he said, she said of these situations. So I know our team is looking into it, and I think we all want a harmonious solution. But the primary function of this entire discussion is being accomplished, and then we'll get into the secondary aspects of this. And hopefully, again, land on a harmonious solution. I know we all have much better things to do than to argue over, you know, who's hurt whose feelings and things like that.
because there certainly is another side of the story that we're hearing. So, but nonetheless, we appreciate what Josh and his team do. And I appreciate what our team does at all these community centers. And so I think we all want the same thing here eventually. And hopefully we get it.
And honestly, you know, I probably wouldn't have even gotten involved in talking about this much on the air because as long as the seniors are getting fed, you know, the other stuff can work itself out. I just felt like largely the way the story had played out is that a very good organization, which I'm glad you say, because, I mean, everybody I know in this, in you, David, Amy Miller, Josh, his folks, like everybody's good people. They're all doing good stuff. We just have this thing, and I sometimes worry that we have stories about nonprofits in our area, and it makes people, you know, changes the way they get funding, and it changes what people perceive about them, and I want to make sure that, you know, that kind of problem doesn't develop as well. So that's the only reason that I wanted to get into is just kind of get as much truth out there about it as we can. Switching gears a little bit, even though you are in D.C., it's a big day at Triumph today. We've got at least two things, right? Part is the, I think ST is on there for the aircraft maintenance campus. And then also we've got the new Project MAVE, which is going to be what, 70 million-ish and 2,000 jobs if it comes through. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. A very big day. I know David Stafford and team are driving over. I think it's over in Tallahassee today. And so I'm here, they're there. And yeah, absolutely. One of the biggest Triumph requests in history we feel very good about. We've worked very hard to get here. And we have an opportunity in the city of Pensacola to have actually one of the first, if not the first, stateside shipbuilding manufacturing initiative put on by this presidential administration. So, you know, we're at the forefront of that initiative of bringing shipbuilding back stateside. And we are in the city of Pensacola are at the forefront of that. And again, they end up being actually the first substantive initiative in the country under that effort. And we're super, super excited about that. Again, 2,000 jobs, average 80,000. It'd be the second largest employer in our city at the 2,000 mark. I believe Sacred Heart is number one. So, so again, very, very exciting project. And this is what we talk about when we say creating quality jobs in our community. We know the impact that can have. So we're super excited about this project for sure.
I love the idea. I love that we would be one of the first or the first shipbuilding initiative. As we know, that is a major problem for our country with the Navy right now. And, you know, the Trump administration is trying to work on this. One quick question about the Project MAVE. If it all comes to pass and we have 2,000 people working on this or working there, one question that's been raised, and I think it's not an unfair question, is you're going to put 2,000 people through that road to pass the fish house to the port? How's that going to work?
Yeah, throughout 24 hours in a day. No,
right,
yes.
Right, fair.
Actually, the bigger question that I like people asking because we have anticipated it is, well, 2,000 people, where are they going to park?
Yep.
Well, one thing that we've looked at, and we partnered with this supplier, the federal grants, all the things that we're looking at is a parking structure where at potentially at Comendencia, south of the Holiday Inn, which is what we've already talked about building for downtown anyway. So, you know, we like to seize opportunity when we can. And so we know that if you're going to have that many jobs on port, where that little parking lot isn't going to be able to suffice. And we'd rather not use the finite property behind the fence line to just put down an asphalt parking lot, right? I mean, right. That's a lot of space and real estate to eat on inside the fence. So we're looking at a potentially catwalk over the train tracks, and then maybe we get both a amenity for our city residents and our visitors, as well as an amenity that helps feed the second largest employer in the city.
And if the very, very expensive project of building fixed parking at what, 30,000-ish, 40,000-ish per space,
correct,
gets defrayed by a private company that's creating jobs, and in the process we get public parking, I like the way you're thinking. It sounds like a good problem-solving thing to me. The Bay Center study, I know you guys are still in the process of getting your sort of comprehensive analysis of the area around and how this is going to tie into everything else. You've heard the presentation. The council's not going to, or the commission isn't going to do anything just yet. But I wanted to get your thoughts on it. I have questions. The hotel seems essential, and that's not a guarantee. The parking is its own special problem because we're getting rid of spaces and we need to actually double spaces. And then there's the little thing having to do with the wraparound getting taken out and that the expense of that. But your thoughts, as you heard, you've heard all of this stuff. You're familiar. What do you think?
Well, first and foremost, progress is important. You know, we certainly know that this is going to be a long-term project, and it's something that's long overdue, certainly for the existing facility. And my opinion has not changed that that's got to be job number one, and number two is figuring out how to renovate the Bay Center. And I take every opportunity to tell every listener or citizen out there, I mentioned this with Walker also last week, that no, there is no scenario that the Bay Center is going to be knocked down. The bones are fine. You won't, if you do the $70, $80 million overhaul of the existing facility, you won't really even know that it was an existing facility. Yeah. It'll look that, you know, there'll be significant differences to it, both inside and outside. And if you knock it down, it'd be like a $400 million project. So every engineer that we've ever talked to, zero of them believe that you would de-cleat the building and then and put a new one up like they're doing in Mobile, where they needed to do that. So just one mythbuster out there that people say, well, why don't they just knock it down? That's why. But I agree with you. One of the lingering issues is parking really isn't addressed in that, the amount of parking you need. And you hit the nail on the head, $40,000 of space. I mean, 2,000 spaces is $80 million technically, yeah. Or could be that that much. So that ever since I looked at the first one of these, that was my question is, hey, we're losing all this parking. You know, you can't just toss a parking garage on there, you know, as a nominal expense. I mean, that would be as expensive as the ice rink would be or more, you know. And so I think we'd have to address that. But listen, I know what this, I mean, this is certainly kind of the here's everything on one plate. And then there's decisions to be made. So once we have our study back for the surrounding area at the end of February, mid to late February, I'm hoping for a joint meeting in March where we can kind of sift through that and find our direction forward.
Yeah, going to your very first comment, which was, you know, we've been talking about this forever. I thought it was sort of poignant that the CSL guy who spoke about the feasibility study, his very first comment was, you know, my first job in this industry in the 90s was to do a feasibility study on renovating the Bay Center. My God, that's but also, you know, the other thing, it's kind of I say this only a little bit of a joke, but in completely revamping the exterior of the Bay Center, I will say this, the one piece of opposition that you often have to progress in downtown is, well, you're going to destroy the historic look of it. Nobody's objecting to destroying the historic look of the Bay Center to bring up something new. So we'll take that.
Yes, that is very fair. Yeah, I've not heard that yet. Now, but remember, Andrew, we got a long way to go.
Fair enough.
Don't disqualify.
You know, people who don't like a thing will find a reason to not like a thing. No, you're right about that. Pensacola Police Chief. We were expecting an announcement. I think the expected announcement was going to be the week before I was on vacation, and then that didn't happen. And then last week it didn't happen. And now you're saying maybe next week. Can you, I don't know, because a lot of people took you at the, hey, it's going to be real quick. We're going to have a decision, and now it's taking time. And there's a lot of speculation about why. Can you explain why or what's going on?
Well, what I can say right now is two things that are pretty common sense obvious. Number one, obviously, it's an extremely difficult decision that involved many people throughout the process.
And yes.
So as you can imagine, that meant lots of phone calls and folks incoming and outgoing that got to be part of this process, whether it was the business community, the faith community, and everybody else. And, you know, these people dedicated half of their day to go meet with these three people, certainly. I want to do my best to get back to every one of them and get their insight. And that was the reason we did it. We didn't do this just for the sake of doing it. We wanted people in the business community, the faith community, at the police department to be able to ask questions that I wouldn't have asked, and right. And to get their insight about it. So that obviously took a couple of days longer than we thought. And then, no, there is no, crazy reason why. It's because, I'm spending my week up here, and certainly, when that decision is you're being finalized and being made, I want to be in town. So I think it's really not anything more complex than that. So it is an extremely difficult decision. There's no doubt about it. Maybe the hardest I've had to make. But nonetheless, there will be the light at the end of the tunnel is that there will be a decision next week.
Okay. All right. Well, obviously it's a very momentous decision, whichever way you go. And I appreciate that it's a challenge to make and it's really all on your shoulders right now. And so we'll look forward to hearing from you about that next week. There was one other thing I was just going to mention and it went straight out of my head, you know, 54, every once in a while that happens. We always like to end with a bit of a lightning round. And so the questions I have for you now is when you were growing up, did you have a dream car? And here I'm thinking about like a TV hero or a movie car that, you know, most inspired you that you wanted to have.
No, it was probably one that was probably the Batmobile.
Okay. Which one?
I think of just the classic.
The 60s Adam West Batmobile?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Because you're young enough where I would have thought maybe the tumbler from The Dark Knight would capture your attention. That's why I ask. So, okay.
No, it's the one when you were growing up where it shoots like plungers on a rope out of the thing. Yeah, there's no technology or anything.
The one when I was growing up. Oh, what a great shade. I love it. Blue or black ink or something else?
In this job, blue ink, because you got to sign things in blue ink. So I have 80% blue pens on my desk.
Very good. And when you go to the bank, are you a drive-through with a teller, drive-through with an ATM, walk-up ATM, go inside the lobby, or entirely online?
Ooh, man. I would say mostly online, and then if I can get it done at the ATM, I'm not antisocial or anything. I just is my quickest transaction. So, sorry to any tellers in there that I don't get to come in and greet. But I'm online or talking to a robot somewhere.
It's pro-social. It's efficiency so that you can talk to more constituents, right? And me.
Get back out there. That's true. That's,
okay, very good. Right. All right, well, Mayor, safe travels back. I hope you don't have as much trouble getting back as you had getting up there, but do good work while you're there, and we'll look forward to all the things we're going to find out next week. Mayor D.C. Reeves, again, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You bet. 555 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9:30 for the Pensacola Expert Panel with me, Eldon Scott, your host, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing barbecue prizes, and hear how Sonny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. We're spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Make sure to tell Sonny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the FHSAA and the Florida Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
You don't want rumors.
You want confirmation.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
You want confirmation.
Informative, local, dependable.
It's a living thing, Brian. It breathes, it eats, and it hates.
Feel like I've engaged in a little bit of Radio Plaid and Stripes mixing with that clip in that song. Backdraft and How Fire Hates and Your Kiss Is on My List. Okay, well, whatever, you know, it was the 80s. 557, or I guess Backdraft was maybe, was it 89? I can't remember now. Anyway, 557 News Radio 92.3. David is in the newsroom, by the way. Welcome in, David, but I have an announcement for you. David.
An announcement? Okay.
Yeah, I have an announcement for you. I have been eagerly looking for The More You Know.
I knew it was just going to eat at you until you could get it.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, here's the funny thing about it is they didn't say it. I mean, every once in a while, like Will Smith in one of them says it, okay? But generally speaking,
it's just the
chimes. Yeah, That's exactly right. And by the way, I'm going to definitely do a segment on this at some point because the content of the late 80s, early 90s, The More You Knows, oh my God, it's about pregnancy and not using crack while you have a baby and not getting into fights. And
solid advice.
It's
yeah.
No, I mean, it's really...
it's heavy stuff.
It was very contemporary and addressed some things that you probably wouldn't hear people say on a PSA today on television. But just because I don't want to leave you hanging.
Because the more you know, the further you'll go.
And that's the weird little guitar riff that they had at the end of all of them with the shot, the star and everything else.
It's but like
they...
being transported back in time, isn't it?
There you go. All right, what's going on in the newsroom?
Well, the FBI is now leading the investigation into the attack on Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. 55-year-old Anthony Komzursak is accused of squirting liquid on Omar during that town hall. He faces third-degree assault charges. Costco's being sued over alleged misleading claims about its $4.99 rotisserie chickens. The proposed class action lawsuit says the popular chickens are advertised as containing no preservatives, but allegedly they do contain two of them to control pH levels and spoilage.
Well, that's what a preservative does, I suppose. Yeah, okay, all right.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. Newsradio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Trump won big. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. The president just wrote that on Truth Social in all caps and then added crooked election, continuing to claim fraud cost him in 2020. His post the morning after the FBI carried out a raid in Georgia.
The search warrant authorized agents to seize ballots, voting machine records, and 2020 voter rolls in Fulton County. It was signed by a federal judge in Atlanta. The prosecutors listed as an interim U.S. attorney in Missouri. President Trump has always said that election was rigged against him in Georgia. And Georgia Senate Democrat John Ossoff says in a statement, "I suspect today's raid is a continuation of this sore loser's crusade, despite repeated audits and independent reviews confirming that Donald Trump was indeed defeated."
That's Fox's Chris Foster. Borders are Tom Homan will talk to reporters next hour in Minnesota after talks with Democratic leaders in the state when Homan was put in charge of immigration enforcement. Following Saturday's deadly shooting of a protester that now has two agents on leave, there is new video of Alex Preddy clashing with agents a week before.
Preddy apparently spits at an official ICE vehicle, kicks and busts a taillight before being tackled to the ground. An organization called the News Movement says it shot this video as part of a documentary. News Movement reports Preddy's gun is visible on him in this incident. An attorney for the family writes, "A week before Alex was gunned down in the street, despite posing no threat to anyone, he was violently assaulted by a group of ICE agents. Nothing that happened a full week before could possibly have justified Alex's killing at the hands of ICE on January 24th.
That's Fox's Matt Finn in Minneapolis. New Fox News poll. Nearly 6 in 10 believe ICE has been too aggressive. Almost a week after that massive storm hit New England, down to New Mexico, cleanup continues. There are still 100,000 power outages in Tennessee, about the same in Mississippi, where many homes and businesses don't have heat or water. And there is the forecast for another storm potentially to hit the Carolinas and East Coast this weekend. America's listening to Fox News.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with IZERVAY, you can
slow it down, get it going slower.
IZERVAY slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. IZERVAY, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
President Trump is touting something he thinks will be part of his legacy.
Decades from now, I believe the Trump accounts will be remembered as one of the most transformative policy innovations of all time.
A provision of the major tax bill passed by Congress last year creates Trump accounts, giving all American babies born between 2025 and 2028 a $1,000 investment linked to market index funds like a retirement account.
Now we're doing something much better than giving the next generation a handout. We're giving them ownership of America's future.
At a forum on Wednesday, President Trump urged parents to open accounts for their families as more companies announce matching funds and contribution programs. Parents can contribute up to $2,500 annually, with charities, employers, and local governments also able to put more in. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Well, the president probably wanted another interest rate cut, but the Federal Reserve decided against it after three reductions last year that he thought were too late and not enough. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell says this should
stabilize the labor market while allowing inflation to resume its downward trend toward 2%.
On Wall Street, not much reaction. Slight gains yesterday for the Dow and the NASDAQ, and futures are up modestly this morning. The Winter Olympics start in 6 days with the first curling competition. And ahead of next Friday's opening ceremony in Italy, there is some controversy.
The International Bobsleigh and Skeleton Foundation found that Canada manipulated the outcome of the North American Cup in Lake Placid earlier this month after Canada withdrew four athletes from the Cup.